Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire, makers of workforce planning and analytics solutions that put the human in human resources. Today's episode is right up our alley. CEO Lois Melbourn is all about the social and the leadership. Just read her blog or follow her tweets to see. That's blog.acquire.com or at Lois Melbourn.
I'll be your host for the next 60 minutes. And hey, I know it's cold outside, but I'm sure this show will warm up the insides of your heart and soul. So we're really happy to be back on the HR Happy Hour. Well, that was horribly cheesy, and I apologize for that. I do want to make a quick announcement for longtime listeners of the show. Shauna is not with us tonight. Shauna Morkey, the HR Minion, is in transit. She is traveling. And so she can't be with us tonight. We miss her, and we wish her safe travels in her relocation down to sunny Orlando, Florida. So, Shauna, good wishes to you. This is episode 83 of the HR Happy Hour, Leadership in the Social Age, being recorded live on January 20th, 2011. Big thanks, of course, to our sponsors from Acquire Software. Just been so great to us for the last year or so, and thanks again to Acquire. We wanted to mention also what's been going on. We were off sort of last week. We had some guest hosts last week. Paul Hebert and Trish McFarland did a fantastic job hosting the show, so many thanks to Paul and Trish again. So we're feeling good to be back as well ourselves. Lots been going on the last couple of weeks. I saw this week there's been a nice spirited online debate in the HR and recruiting space about the pros and cons of various job boards again, which is cool. That's a great conversation. I'm glad to see that going on. The conversation and the debate was pretty cool back in 2002 and 2006 and the 2008 again. You know, the various other times the debate's been going on. It's kind of like our job board's dead should now qualify as an Olympic sport. You know, every 4 years we sort of relive it. We think back on the past and debate it again. So that's been kind of fun this week. And certainly with all the stuff going on in that debate, especially with our friends at the Ladders, you know, I figured we had to really get to the bottom of what's happening with the Ladders with their crazy commercial and what's happening down there and the pros and cons of their model. So I think next week we're gonna head down to New York City, a few of us, and check out what's happening on the Ladders. KD, myself, Tim Sackett, a few others, we're going down there doing a little bit of a summit meeting. And quite frankly, I it's supposed to be a meeting, but I think there's a secret plan in mind by the Ladders. And here, I'm going to tell you what it is. I think they want KD, Sackett, and I to star in their next round of commercials. That's my theory. And we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. So, all right, super. Enough of my nonsense. Let's get started with the show. We have a great show for you tonight, a great guest, and a great topic as well. So a couple of quick announcements before we bring our guest on board. Our call-in number tonight, 646-378-1086. Please press 1 if you want to come on board during the course of the show and get involved in the conversation or ask a question of our guest. Our Twitter hashtag, of course, is HR Happy Hour. And we'll be trying to keep an eye on that. I don't have Shauna now tonight, my wingman, to look out at the tweet stream, so we will try to keep an eye on that as well and raise any interesting comments or questions that we see out on Twitter tonight. So let's bring on our guest. Our guest for tonight is Kevin Eikenberry. Kevin is a recognized expert on leadership development and learning. He's the Chief Potential Officer at the Kevin Eikenberry Group. That's a pretty cool title. He spent the last 20 years helping organizations all across North America and really clients from around the world on leadership development, learning, teams, teamwork, creativity. He's got a blue chip list of clients he's worked with in the past, including Bell Helicopter, Chevron, John Deere, Southwest Airlines. It goes on and on. He presents, he writes, he's the author of several books, including his most recent book, which I have in front of me, we're going to talk about tonight, called Leadership Tweet, which is a pretty cool little take on leadership and sort of the Twitter style. And anyway, Kevin's a great guy. He's Kevin Eikenberry on Twitter, and we're really pleased to welcome Kevin to the show tonight. Kevin, welcome to the HR Happy Hour show.
Steve, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Kevin, thank you so much. I ran through a little bit of the official formal bio. Is there anything else you want to add about what you do, your background, your interests, and sort of what, in particular, what draws you to the leadership field and the leadership development field?
You mean the bio that my mother wrote?
It was really well done. I give her full marks for it.
You know, every time that gets read, whether it's on the radio or whether it's at a talk or whatever, I always think, well, yeah, Mom did a good job on that. I'm pleased, Steve, to be doing in life what I believe I was put on earth to do, which is to help people be more successful, help organizations be more successful, and we focus most of our time around leadership because that's where the greatest leverage is organizationally, and that's, you know, my one of my core beliefs is that when we become a better leader, we become a better learner, and vice versa. Excuse me, when we become a better leader, we become a better human being, and vice versa. And so, you know, it gives us a chance when we do the work that we do to help organizations and to help people be more effective. So we're just glad to have the chance to do that, and I'm glad to be on with you tonight.
Great, Kevin. Thanks so much for that. Just before we get into some of the meat of the topic tonight about leadership in the social age, you know, maybe you could just throw out for us just a common, you know, observation that you have, or perhaps maybe a misconception or a misperception or two about leadership development. And the reason I ask is it seems like, Kevin, you know, when we ask organizations and CEOs and other C-suite executives about what are some of the most pressing issues facing their organizations, it does seem like the leadership development and developing that pipeline of leaders for the future, it seems to come up every single year as a real priority and a pressing need. And I just thought perhaps you could comment a little bit about why it's continually high on the list of initiatives in many organizations.
Well, it's high on the list of needs because perhaps the highest leverage thing we can do is make leaders more effective, because as leaders become more effective, that helps the whole organization be more effective, and we have clearer vision of where we're trying to go, which is one of the things, of course, leaders do. It's just such a critical role in organizations. So that's why it's always there, and it's always there, too, because as organizations, we don't always spend as much time or effort or do with the most intelligence, the development of leaders. And that comes back to your first question about misconceptions. I think the biggest misconception is that we think that there's like a leadership gene and that somehow people are born to it, or some people have it in them to be more effective leaders than others. You know, and oftentimes, Steve, when people ask me, Kevin, are leaders made or born? My answer is yes. You know,
right.
I mean, seriously, I mean, here's the thing. I get birth announcements in the mail. I've got friends and family that have children, and I've never, ever seen a birth announcement that said, we announced the birth of a leader. And yet, if you read the obituaries in your newspaper, and what I've observed as well is that the older you get, the more likely you are to read those, that when you read the obituaries, you always see that as people are passing, they've been leaders in their communities, in their organizations, in their churches. And so something's happened between birth and death. And so it's obviously about people developing skills and using their experiences to become more effective leaders. And while all of us are gifted at birth with things that can help us in some parts of the leadership experience or some parts of the leadership skills, it is about development. So I think the biggest misconception is that somehow people think that it's either we can take a workshop or two and get it, or we think that somehow people – we're gifted with it, and those are the only people we give the workshops or we give the experiences to. I think those are the two big issues that I find and see repeated over and over and over.
Right. Kevin, do you get the sense that, you know, perhaps in the last couple of years, is, you know, times have gotten pretty tough in many organizations, really most organizations, that do you get the sense that effort and resources spent on leadership development's perhaps been cut back, perhaps maybe too much, maybe when they should have been emphasized even more in times of trouble, they've been really cut back? Have you seen that, or is that just a sort of a common, you know, maybe a perception that I have?
Well, a couple things. I think the research data or the survey data would say that that's probably true. I don't know that I've experienced that with our clients. Maybe we're blessed to have clients that are thinking a little forward, more forward thinking in that regard. I do think the big challenge, I don't know all of the data on spend. Again, the data I've read says spend is down. But here's the thing that I think people have missed the boat on, and I've written about this and talked with this with people a lot about this, and that is that, and I think we're starting to turn this corner, but I think as organizations we've been lulled into a false sense of security over the last 2 or 3 years. When the economy is leaning a little bit and people aren't out looking for new jobs because there aren't as many new jobs to be had, and so our retention numbers look good and we don't have the turnover that we used to have, so we've been lulled into a false sense of security that says, hey, everything's going pretty well. But the reality is that as the economy turns and as organizations start to hire, the first people that are going to leave our organizations, if we're not doing something proactive about it, the first people that are going to leave are going to be our best people. So we've been able to maybe not make that spend or do those things over the last 2 or 3 years, feeling like, well, no one's leaving, so we don't have a major driver to do that,
right,
you know, from a
sure.
metrics perspective. But the reality is, when that turn comes, it's going to be painful for organizations that haven't been continuing to invest. Here's the reality. Doing the right thing is the right thing in a recession or not. And so I think that's going to be a big issue for some organizations. We've been preaching and talking and writing about that for the last couple of years, and I think that we're going to hear a lot about that as the economy continues to improve.
Kevin, thanks. Let me do a quick reset. We're on the HR Happy Hour. We're talking about leadership. We'll talk about some of the implications of leadership in the social networking age here in a minute. Our guest is Kevin Eikenberry. Our call-in number tonight, 646-378-1086. Please feel free to call in. Once you connect, if you want to come on board and make a comment or ask Kevin a question, press 1. Our Twitter hashtag is HR Happy Hour. No Sean tonight, so you're on your own on the Twitter stream, and please behave yourselves out there. We'll try to keep half an eye on you as well. Kevin, we pitched the show tonight as Leadership in the Social Age, and I guess that was partly a couple of reasons why. You know, we know social networking and social media is impacting organizations and individuals quite substantially in the last couple of years. Your book, Leadership Tweet, was kind of a fun play on that angle, I think. And so we decided to talk a little bit tonight about leadership in the social age and social media age. And so I thought perhaps we could talk a little bit about that and just in general, how you feel leadership and leadership development has really been impacted by the rise in the last few years of social networks and social networking, both sort of on the personal level and then as they've bleeded into the organizational activities as well.
Well, if I can, I want to back up and say one more thing about what we were just talking about. I was thinking about it as you were talking and resetting, and that is that while I think that's a mistake that organizations have made, I think there's still time to fix it. I think that for the most part, organizations still have time to redouble their efforts and refocus their attention on development in general, and especially leadership development. Before, you know, I mean, if you look at the U.S. over the next year or so, we're still talking about unemployment being in the 9 range, everything I read. So there's still time to rectify that problem if you've been getting a little bit comfortable with those sorts of things. I think there's still time to solve that and re-engage your best performers and get them on a path to help them want to stay because of the things you're doing to show your interest in them and to continue their development, because those are the things that people are really looking for in their work. And I don't think your window of opportunity has passed, but I think it's closing.
Great. Super, Kevin. I appreciate that. Right, because if it's too late and you've sort of given up, then it's over, right? I mean, once you get that slight sort of uptick in business prospects, employment numbers, right? If you don't sort of turn quickly, you're going to get passed by. It seems to be pretty common knowledge, right? I mean, and leadership certainly is going to be a key for organizations who want to stay on top of their markets and their industries.
Yeah, I would completely agree.
Let's move ahead to talk a little bit about, you know, the leadership and social media angle and just your thoughts about, you know, how is that impacting leaders? Is it really impacting leaders and leadership development, or is it too soon to tell? What's your sense in the organizations and the leaders you're working with? Is social networking, social media inside and outside the organization part of their agenda or on their radar just yet?
Well, I may be for this audience and for some people listening that may be surprised, I think it's something we got to be thinking. I think that everyday leaders in organizations across the world need to be thinking about it, but I think it's still early, and I'll tell you why. I've still got leaders telling me as late as last week, so a blog, right? Like, how do I get on a blog? Now, for most of us listening, you say, what? How can they say that? But the reality is that not everyone's there yet. Now, most of the people that are saying what's a blog have been on one. They just don't know it. And so there's just a communication issue. But while I think this is absolutely something leaders need to be thinking about, I don't think it's a widespread issue yet. I mean, I think that if you want to focus specifically on something like Facebook, 500 million users. I mean, I read recently that there's some question about how many of those are people have passed on or are dummy accounts and non-active accounts. But the reality is, it's a very big number.
I'm actually, Kevin, hoping that a lot of my friends will have moved on and passed on Facebook. I'm hoping that.
Okay,
personally.
Well, that's a whole other issue, Steve.
Yeah.
That's a different show.
I know. That's my problem. But
I read something just the other day, 1.78 million Facebook users die. They're expecting to die every year or something like that. Well, whatever. If you do the math, I suppose, 500 million, that wouldn't be all that surprising. But the point that I want to make there is that I think that what is on people's radar screen, and I'm not sure I'm the best person to talk about this specifically, is what are the impacts within the organization of Facebook, and are you going to let people be on Facebook at work and all of that stuff around the productivity and all that stuff? But I know where we're headed is a slightly different place, and I think we're going to have a really interesting conversation tonight, and I think there's a lot of things we ought to be thinking about. But I think in many ways, it's still early, and I think that's another sign of another opportunity. So for leaders at whatever age in organizations, getting more clued in, spending more time thinking about these implications for your own organization, there's really a big opportunity here. I'm going to show my age with what I say next, but I remember when I was in college when the IBM PC came out. And I remember thinking that here's an opportunity for me, although I'm not an IT guy and I'm not a computer geek, that I realized at the time that was an opportunity for me to gain a competitive advantage, to learn about some of that stuff and that sorts of things, and to even talk about them in the way that I was thinking about them then seems almost silly, hard to even talk about, you know, in 1983. But the reality is, I think in many ways it's the same thing. I think that there are opportunities for leaders in their 20s and 30s and 40s and even 50s to really get on the front end of this wave. For some of us that are in the wave, it seems like we're past the beginning. I'm not sure we are. I think we're just starting to figure what all that looked like. And I think there's really big opportunities for individual leaders to start thinking about, how am I going to use it? What are the implications in my organization? How do I use these kinds of tools and these kinds of ideas within my team? I think those opportunities are still largely, for most people in most organizations, in front of us.
Right. Kevin, I have to agree with you on that. And I wonder if, like, do you get the sense at times like the openness and sort of the transparency, you know, from a personal level as well as an organizational level, that's sort of implied and really, really demonstrated by social media and social networks? Do you think that scares a lot of traditional leaders and might be sort of a cause for concern in organizations or with individual leaders that you work with?
Well, you know, so here's the thing. The need for transparency and authenticity and and genuineness and genuine behavior for leaders, the need for that has never changed. The fact that we now are talking about it in new ways because of tools like Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, to me that's a fabulous thing. It's not about the social network. It's not about the social media. The reality is the best leaders have always been that way. You want to go back 200, 300 years. All that's happening now is that the technology is pushing people to think about it more, and it's putting more urgency behind it, and it's making it more obvious when people aren't.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense.
But nothing's changed about human behavior and the need for people to have the need for people to desire leaders that are authentic and real and transparent and are leading from their values and are leading toward a vision that matters. That's about human nature and human behavior, and that hasn't changed and going to change.
Yeah, I think, Kevin, those are great points, and I sort of think, you know, that one of the examples we had talked about prior to the show or we thought we might bring up is from a leadership perspective in the social media angle was the recent snowstorms, right, that happened in across the East Coast, the Eastern Seaboard, and the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, right, Cory Booker, a big Twitter guy, is out there on Twitter tweeting about, you know, I'll come shovel you out and, you know, we'll get the ambulance to your place. And that's great, and he did a great job. But I can kind of get the sense that, you know, in the next meeting, the National Conference of Mayors he goes to, like a lot of the other mayors might look at him and say, come on, man, you're making us all look bad, right, out here, the way you're handling that. You know, do you get the sense that there could be some of that, you know, that sort of modern, enlightened leader who starts to embrace these tools might really distance himself or herself from the pack, if you will?
Yeah, I think, you know, when that was happening, I read about what he was doing, so I followed him, and I spent, you know, 10 minutes looking back at his stream and looking at all those things. And so I was pleased when, you know, as we got preparing for this, that we were going to talk about that. So here's the thing. I think kudos to him. And I think you're right. You know, in the private sanctums of mayors' offices and political offices around the country, they're going, holy smokes, is he serious? Does he really do that? I can't do that. What's that look? How do you spell Twitter? And all of those things.
Right.
And so I think he sets a trend and he sets an expectation at some level. But again, back to our first point, I think we're still on the front edge of that, and I think it's going to be a while before that's truly an expectation. I think what we've got now is people on the leading edge of that, innovators and maybe early adopters that are doing that, and they're going to be looked at as bellwethers and as an example. And I think in those kinds of situations, it's going to be a little while before those are no longer newsworthy. In other words, I still think we're on the front end, which goes back to this whole idea. There's a mayor out there in a city somewhere that still has an opportunity to get great value from doing that, right? It's not yet an expectation of the general populace yet. And so there's opportunities there, I think.
Kevin, thanks for that. Let's do a quick reset. We're on the HR Happy Hour. We're talking about leadership and social media, social networking. Kevin Eikenberry is our guest. Our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Please feel free to call in. Press 1 if you want to come on board with Kevin tonight. Our Twitter hashtag, of course, is HR Happy Hour as well. And lots of great, interesting conversation going on in the tweet stream as well.
Yeah, I'm reading it as well.
Yeah, we've got some great comments tonight, and so we really appreciate that. And we love the Twitter stream as well. So, Kevin, so we're sensing, so maybe for folks who are listening to the show, even for me, right, we're hosting the show on Blog Talk Radio on a Thursday night. The folks who listen to the show tend to be pretty advanced in their sort of application and usage of social networks and social media, both from their personal perspectives as well as in their organization. So perhaps, as you said, we're on sort of the leading edge or the cutting edge. Do you get a sense that you know, that change or that sort of expectation will change and you know, maybe it's a demographic shift that will move that needle? Do you think it's coming soon, you know, in the next 2, 3, 5 years? Do you get the sense that it's really going to change and become sort of the expectation?
Well, I think you're right. So first of all, we are kind of tonight speaking to the choir, right? So I spent the day with a group of leaders and project managers from Cummins Engine and their headquarters in Columbus, Indiana today, and I'll be back with them tomorrow. And tomorrow I'm going to talk with them about change, and one of the things we'll talk about is is the diffusion of innovation, which is what we all think about. If you know the diffusion of innovation model, you know that it talks about innovators and the early adopters and the early majority, et cetera. And so we're still in that innovator, early adopter range in terms of real life, everyday leaders across the country and around the world really knowing about and adopting all these things. Yes, we all see the little T on TV, and people know what Twitter is and all that sort of stuff. Doesn't mean they're doing it, and doesn't mean that they know what the implications of that are. So I think all of us here, we think, well, everyone's doing it because everyone we know is doing it, but I can guarantee you that, you know, across the country and around the world, we're all still in the minority. You know, we're maybe in the 3%, 5%, 7%, 8% at range, 10% maybe. So we're still in that early adopter range from that model's perspective. So are we on that path? Absolutely. You know, when we get to 50% in 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, I don't know what that looks like. I know that if you look at one of the fastest products, technical product adoptions in history was the DVD player, and to get to the 60-70% adoption rate in the United States took a number of years. So I don't know that we're, you know, I think we're on path to continue to move in that direction. I think we're moving in that direction quickly. But for those of us that sort of live it more and that are probably on this call or going to be reading and listening to it later,
right? Sure.
The reality is that we think we're further along than the general population is. And so are we on that path? Absolutely. When we get to 50-60% of people really using these kinds of tools, is Twitter going to be the tool? I don't know. You know, 5 years ago, everyone was talking about MySpace. So who knows if it's the tool or not. I think the reality is that we're moving in that direction. I don't think it's a fad. I think we're moving in that direction. Exactly what it looks like, we'll continue to figure out. And those of us on this, listening to this and talking about this now, are on the cusp of something that's really exciting that can have a real impact on how leaders lead and how organizations become more productive. And that's what's exciting about it.
Kevin, thanks for that. You know, let's move on to sort of talking about leadership development, sort of professional development in the context of the social media and social network space and age. You know, and I just wondered if you had some comments on were there some methods or strategies that you've thought about or perhaps written about where current leaders or aspiring leaders might actually use to sort of further their sort of personal development and leadership development? Is it still too soon for that, or do you really think there's some real opportunity there in the leadership development space that you've worked in for a long time?
Oh, I think there's absolutely opportunities there. I mean, not whether everyone's doing it, that's another question, but are there opportunities there? They're huge. And I guess partly this depends on how you want to define social media, right? And people will have different definitions, but in my mind, I include blogging in that. And
sure.
And if you take the connection between blogging and Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, and I think about what we're doing in our organization and what I see other people doing is tying those things together. If I think about a young professional that wants to be on a path to leadership, and I think about the opportunities that they have to be learning from and truly connecting with thought leaders and brilliant people. I mean, I could start to name a list that many people listening would know, but I won't because I'll leave somebody out, right? But
clearly, Kevin, that list would start with me, Steve Bose, and then everybody else.
Steven. Well, so Steve at all. We'll just say
doesn't
that. But here's the point.
The other people
that,
on it. Fair enough.
Flattery will get me everywhere. You know, the opportunities for that are unbelievable. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, how were you going to be able to connect to your favorite author successfully? How were you going to be able to connect to those kinds of people? It wasn't going to be, you weren't going to be able to do it nearly as easily or effectively as you can today. And those of us that are those writers, et cetera, want to be connected. They want to be connected to what real practitioners are doing and struggling with every day. We benefit. Leaders benefit. You know, if someone on this listening to this recording or listening to this live is 23, 24, 25 years old and is asking, how do I become, what are the ways that I can use social media to become a highly effective leader over time, to say, you know, join the conversation, start reading, start commenting on people's blogs, start following people on Twitter, and not only are you going to be learning all those things and making all those connections, but you may be finding your next one, two, three, four jobs along the way. I mean, the opportunities at this level, I mean, it's all right here. Where I've said earlier, we're not there yet. For an individual that wants to use these tools to help them become more effective, I mean, the information is there. The inspiration is there. They still have to apply it.
Right.
But that's not any different than it's ever been. But the facilitated opportunity to have access to smart people in real time has never been like it is, and is an amazingly rich resource.
You know, Kevin, that's a great point. You know, as you were going through that discussion, it made me think of something like, you know, for the young professional or the eager professional trying to grow their career, grow their knowledge, develop themselves, it's almost in a way easier for them in many cases, if they're working, say, in a mid-size or large organization, it's almost easier for them to connect with authors, experts, and other people, you know, outside their organization than it may actually be to their leaders and their mentors inside the organization, if they have been a little bit slower to adopt these types of tools, not so much the tools, but just the mindset or the different sort of approach to sort of connectivity and openness and transparency. Like, it might be difficult to get an email or responded to by their CEO, but they might be able to tweet at, you know, an expert in the field who might tweet them back, if you follow what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, someone tweets me, I'm going to tweet them back. And, again, I could make a list of people that, again, most everyone on this call would know, some of whom have a very large platform in terms of the traditional media, and people that are well-known, best-selling authors, if you will, that I guarantee you, if you tweet them, you're going to hear back from them. I mean, how cool is that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is that, and how valuable is that? So, I think you're absolutely right. I think that the only limitation here for using these tools for your own development, professional development, personal development, leadership development, the only restrictions are in your imagination and in your time and willingness to put some effort into it. Now, could you have gotten connected to those kind of people, you know, 20 years ago by writing the letter and all sorts of things? In most cases, the answer is yes, but it was harder and it was slower and all of those things. And the reality is all that stuff is right now, right here. You know, someone could send me a direct tweet right now that's never met me but somehow been interested in my work. And while I'm not going to respond while I'm talking to you, you know, within 10 minutes after this call, they're going to have a response from me. And that would be true for almost anyone that's writing and thinking and talking and speaking about leadership development and a whole range of other things as well.
Right. Yeah, Kevin, great point. I have to agree with you on that. Absolutely. Wow, let's do a quick reset. HR Happy Hour, we're with Kevin Eikenberry. We're talking about leadership and social media and the opportunities for folks for personal development, professional development, leadership development as well. Our call in number is 646-378-1086. And our hashtag on Twitter, HR Happy Hour. Lots of activity on the Twitter stream tonight. So hello to everybody out there, and thanks for participating tonight. I'll throw out a question. I see Kevin on the Twitter stream from James P. It looks like, and the question, if I can sort of figure it out from the tweet, is about leadership development. Will it move from sort of organizational specific types of initiatives to more cross sector or community based models as it's influenced by sort of openness, transparency, and social media? Do you get a sense that might happen, or perhaps even has it started to happen?
I think it's a both and. I think that, you know, there are a lot of organizations that are getting smarter and getting more resourceful and investing time, money, as well as social media tools around their own organizational leadership development stuff. And there's a tremendous number of opportunities to do that in a cross-pollinated, cross-functional, cross-organizational way as well, whole numbers of them that we could talk about, including the new one that we're building around my new book, But the Boss. the Bud the Boss community. But, you know, I think that – I don't think that's a yes or no. I think that's a both and. I think that organizations are continuing to get smarter. I'm excited about sort of the conversations I'll have across the industry this year at places, talking to people in organizations like SHRM and ASTD about what they're doing and how organizations are thinking about using these tools. I'd like to think that we can help people think about that inside of their organizations, but the opportunities to do that outside in a whole variety of ways, I think those opportunities are really starting to blossom. And I think if we were to have this, excuse me, this conversation again a year from now, that would be one of the big changes we'll see in this space or this area, is that there's going to be all sorts of sort of community-based, and again, you know, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's Blog Talk, whether it's Twitter, or whether it's, you know, other sorts of communities, you're going to see more and more of that happening, and I think that'll be a big trend in the next year and beyond.
Yeah, Kevin, that's a great point, and that sort of leads into a couple of the other questions that I thought I might ask you tonight was, you know, specifically about leadership development and, or, you know, professionals, HR, OD types, professionals inside organizations that were developing programs or responsible for leadership development inside their organizations, and how might they leverage sort of the social world, the social web, the open web, if you will, to develop their programs. So I get the sense that a really savvy or smart HR professional can really further their own organizations as well as their personal efforts by embracing these strategies and communities.
Well, so from a personal perspective and a personal and professional development perspective, you know, the same things we said about leadership development are true for HR development, OD development, or, you know, name it, sales management, sales skills. Pick it, right? Right on down the line.
Right.
So all of this stuff we've already said would apply across everything. But I think the second thing and the more direct thing that you were talking about around, as an HR professional, as an OD professional, are there opportunities for us here to, you know, to get all sorts of resources that we can bring inside of our organizations? Absolutely. And as a person who sells leadership development stuff, you know, I have mixed feelings about all of that, right? But
right,
the reality is, absolutely, the opportunities that are there and the resources that are available, and again, even the, you know, reaching out to me, to you, to, again, I could make a list, and I don't want to do that, but to go out to people as an OD professional, as an HR professional, and say, hey, I mean, here's something that happens for me almost every day, pretty close. One way or another, an organization says, hey, read your article, Kevin, would like to use that on their internal newsletter, put it on our website, et cetera, et cetera. Well, of course I'm going to love for them to do that. They're going to put a byline, there's going to be a connection back to us, and all those sorts of things. So we win, but the reality is the organization wins because something that OD professional or that HR professional saw as valuable and speaking into that organization gets used. That's not just happening to me. It's happening to any number of people all of the time. And so, again, do I want to be connected to those HR professionals and OD professionals because maybe someday they do want to hire us? Of course I do. But even if they don't ever hire us, the fact that our work is getting utilized by a broader number of people, I mean, that's why I do what I do. And that would be true for many of my colleagues as well. So the opportunities for, the cynic would say, the opportunities for an HR professional or an OD professional to get a lot of resources on the cheap is absolutely there. But the reality is it goes beyond that. It goes to those things, and it goes to finding those resources that really speak inside of your organization. So you're also market testing who do you want to hire when you do want to hire somebody, right? So you're not just sort of going out and doing the old style RFP process to say, well, we got to go find someone to help us do this thing. Now, you can have exposed your organization to 3, 4, 8, 10, 15 smart, brilliant people, and then have some sense of who are the ones that speak best to us that we would want to bring in and use in a more traditional or a more you know, resource intensive way.
Right. Yeah, Kevin, that's a great point, because it seems to me that for folks like yourself and other professionals who are really trying to assist and enable organizations to achieve, you know, up to their their highest potential, that the social networking and the social media just would help you, right? I mean, you can very clearly articulate your expertise, your value proposition, but also even if they're not going to be hiring you directly, you're still contributing to that sort of community and that body of knowledge that maybe down the road might benefit you or may not, but still it sort of brings everyone up together, so to speak.
Well, I can't speak for my professional colleagues around the world, right? But I can speak for me and for my organization. And what we're here to do is to help organizations and individual leaders be more successful. Because when we do that, those organizations and those leaders can make a bigger difference in the world. So we hope in doing that that we're able to make a living doing it, right? And we're doing it to have that result. And so, you know, while we love to be hired, what we really love is for the efforts that we're making to make that sort of difference. And
right.
And again, I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm guessing that many of my colleagues would say the same thing. If I really didn't believe that, I wouldn't invest my time and my organization's time and efforts in doing the stuff we do online, in which case you and I probably wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
From a marketing or from a strategic perspective, for me as a provider, it all makes sense. But the reality is that, you know, I believe that when we put good stuff out into the world, good things will happen for us. And so, I mean, to me, that's a big part of what the whole social media thing is about. It's about giving people a chance to get connected to you, understand you, buy into you, and then good things happen as a result. It's an investment.
Thanks for that. Kevin, that's great. No, that's fantastic. Let's do a quick reset one more time. HR Happy Hour, we're talking about leadership and social media. The great Kevin Eikenberry is with us. You're with us as well if you're hearing my voice right now. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086. On Twitter, our hashtag is HR Happy Hour. Lots of lively conversation going on in the back channel as well. I apologize. It's been a little difficult to keep up with it, but I may have to assign sort of like what do you do at the school, like a playground supervisor or something. I forget the term for it, but we may need to officially assign someone to monitor the Twitter stream for us tonight. But thanks for joining in tonight as well. Kevin, I want to, you know, switch gears just slightly and talk a little bit about your book, Leadership Tweet, the one of the books anyway that you've done. Fascinating. Go ahead, Kevin. Well, it's just fascinating. For folks who haven't seen the book, Leadership Tweet, it's an interesting style of book. I've seen maybe one other book like this, but it's written sort of in the form of tweets. So it's the pages, the advice or the observations are written in the form of tweets, and I didn't count them, but I imagine they're all in the 140 character limit that Twitter imposes, quite frankly. But it makes for a great sort of interesting, quick, but digestible read. And so I just thought maybe you'd comment a little bit about Leadership Tweet and sort of what drove you to sort of format a leadership book in the form as it ended up taking place.
So it's not only they could have been tweets, they all were tweets. In fact, every single one of them was a tweet before it was one in the book. And so there are literally 140
okay.
tweets that make up the book. And, of course, they're all 140 characters or less. And, you know, the kind of fun thing we did was the forward from Chris Brogan is in the form of a tweet, and all of the acknowledgments are in the form of tweets. And the only thing in the whole book that's not tweets are sort of the four section headers that are slightly longer than that. But, yeah, it's literally – I wrote it as tweets, and then we picked the best 140 to put in at the time to put in the book. And so I did it for a number of reasons, because I thought it was a cool idea. I did it because I thought it was a useful thing. When I introduced the book at a workshop or at a speaking engagement, when I hold it up or when someone asks me about it, I say, well, if my grandmother was still alive, she would say, what the heck is this, Kevin? And I would say, Grandma, it's 140 short quotes about leadership that I wrote. And she'd say, oh, I get it. And that's really what it is. What I did was, you know, I took ideas that I thought were important and things that I've learned and things that I've observed in working with leaders in that 140 characters or less concept, And then we sort of lumped them into four areas, you know, to make it sort of book-like. And that's what we did. We thought it'd be fun. We did it. It's been out a year and a half almost, well, I guess about 15 months. And so there have been a lot of books done in this sort of tweet format. The publisher that I used for this book has done a number of books in this format, and I've seen others as well. But it was something we thought was kind of fun, and it sort of got us, it got people thinking about it. And what I'm finding in terms of people that are buying the book, a lot of times it isn't even people that care about Twitter. It's that they like that sort of short, pithy thing that they can, you know, that they can look to and comment on and remind themselves of some maybe useful or maybe even profound thoughts.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, I think that's great. And I also think it's the kind of thing, I have seen a couple of these books in this format, but, you know, I wonder if it would be the kind of thing inside organizations, this type of a format, maybe not as strict in the tweet 140-character style, might be beneficial for some of the communications and some of the information that's shared inside organizations as well, that people might actually want to engage with and actually, you know, digest rather than, you know, just the typical boring stuff that typically comes down from HR or communications departments.
Well, I think that, you know, back to where we started in the show, Steve, about how can leaders use this sort of media and all these sorts of things, to me, there would be a great opportunity for a leader to be tweeting out sort of the key messages of the organization and the key values of the organization and those sorts of things. And then to actually put that in a book could be an extremely valuable thing. Whether they were actually tweeted or not is irrelevant, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that
right. Using
this sort of a format, first of all, being a little bit unique, at least still now a little unique, might actually get more employees to read it. But since, again, those of us on this call, on this show, are not the typical person, right? More people listening to this, whether they listen to it live or otherwise, are readers than the general population, for example. But you got
right. Most
people in an organization, you know, if they read one or two books a year, that's a lot. But if you could come up with 40, 50, 60, 70 key concepts, ideas, values, strategy statements, stories that were meaningful in your organization, and you could actually publish that in a very simple way, which you could, and use that. So is that using social media or not? I don't know. But what it is a way for leaders to communicate in the new, fresh, exciting, and extremely meaningful way in their organization.
Yeah right. And because, I mean, books, quite frankly, Kevin, I'll say this, you know, and I'm not ashamed to say it, you know, real books are hard. They're long to read. They take forever. I mean, that's a real commitment of time and energy to read a whole book, right? And so, especially one that's written by, you know, your CEO or your CFO or some other C person that hopefully will wave at you at some company meeting, right? So, to distill this into a more digestible format, I think inside the organization would be a really interesting kind of approach. Hey, Kevin, you know, we just have about 10 or so minutes, 12 minutes left in the show. You know, I just thought maybe at the end of the show I'd throw out a few of the tweets that are in the book, Leadership Tweet. I'll just read them. Maybe you could comment a little bit about them and sort of what you were thinking or why they're important. Would that work for you?
Bring it on.
All right, Kevin. Part one, okay, of Leadership Tweet.
I'm working without a net because I don't know what you're going to say now, so bring it on.
No, you're not, but you wrote this stuff. You tweeted this stuff, so you should know it. So in the Leaders as Learners section, a real simple one, the best leaders are learners, right? That's the tweet, the best leaders are learners. So, Kevin, for leaders, why is learning so important to a leader?
Well, there's at least two very important reasons. Number one is leadership is one of the most complex things you'll ever engage in your life. It's not just difficult, but it's complex because you're leading people and every person is different and there's just a tremendous amount of complexity involved. So in order for us to continue to get better at it, for us to move closer towards this elusive thing called leadership mastery, we have to be learners. I mean, there's no way around it. And the second thing, and maybe the more pragmatic, less philosophical thing, is that I've never met a leader that didn't want the people that they lead to be getting better. I've never met a leader that had a team that felt like their team was perfect. They're all wanting to coach their team, improve their team, develop their team. The single best way
right. To
influence
okay. Others
to be learners is to be one yourself.
Great, Kevin. All right, I'll give you another one, right? Okay, again, these are in the book, so you shouldn't be too shocked. Here's another one from the Leaders as Learners section. Remarkable leaders are curious leaders. So why is curiosity so important to a leader?
Well, because, first of all, it's integrally important to us being a learner. The most prolific learners on earth are little kids, and why is that? In large part, it's because they ask that question, why? The more curious we are, the more likely we are, based on how our brains work, to be learners. And so if you want to be a more effective learner, one of the things you've got to do is you've got to be curious. You've got to be wondering why things are the way they are. And when you have that going for you, you're on that path of being an intentional learner. And so curiosity is critical. Whether you're talking about something pragmatic like what's going on or what's a process improvement that needs to take place or those sorts of things, or whether it's about how do I become a more effective leader or how do I use social media as a leader or whatever it is, you can't get past the importance of curiosity for us to be more effective.
Great. All right, Kevin, if you could hang on with us 1 second. I do have someone who wants to jump in. We have a couple minutes left in the show. I guess I can squeeze in one call. Hi, area code 203. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Levy. Kevin, you mentioned unintentional learning. And now, does that mean is also unintentional learning?
Well, I think that, there's certainly unintentional learning, things that can lead us to learn something. But the reason that I intentionally use the word intentional is because in order for us to really get on a path moving in the direction of being a more effective leader, we've got to make decisions that inform not only the things we want to intake and the experiences that we want to reflect on, but what are those things that we're best at, we want to get better at, and what are those weaknesses that we want to intentionally improve. So to me, that the intentional part of the learning process is critical for us. And so is there such a thing as unintentional learning? Sure it is, but then it's haphazard and serendipitous. And what we want instead is to be intentional and on target and know, will serendipitous insights happen? Of course, but what we need to do is be more disciplined and clear about what it is that we want to keep getting better at and get on a path to make those things happen.
Yeah. Although to bring back the child learning analogy, children do learn through unintentional experiences, and more often than not, those are the ones that are exceptionally long lasting. And that's all I'll say.
Well, yeah. I agree. And the thing I would add to that is that as adults, we have all sorts of experiences that could lead to unintentional learning. But they only have value to us if we reflect on them and create value from them, right?
Very true.
And so that's the piece that I would add. So I agree with you, and that's what I would add to that.
Great. Hey, Steve, thank you.
Thanks.
Steve, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Kevin, just a few more minutes left in the show. I want to get through a couple more of the tweets from the Leadership Tweet Book, the ones that I had sort of picked out that I thought were really interesting. Now, I'm going to give you another one right now from the Leadership Actions section of the book. And this one is, remarkable leaders communicate powerfully through stories. So I'd just love you to comment a little bit about the importance of stories and the ability to tell stories. And, are we talking about sort of the inspirational pregame speech like a coach might give? Or what are you getting at by the stories analogy there?
Okay, so Steve, that's not fair because that's a whole show. But it could be that. But here's the thing. Stories are one of the most effective ways for us to communicate and remember anything. Remember, communication is about message sent, message received. And throughout history, one of the ways that message is best received is through story. So if we want our messages to be better received, we've got to be able to tell stories, whether those are inspirational, whether those are instructional, or whatever they are. Stories have this tremendous power, especially when they're well told and done intentionally, to be memorable. And one of the things that leaders are always saying to me is, Kevin, I don't understand. I've told them 5 times. I've sent them an email. I've told it to them about it in 3 meetings. Well, the reality is it's not communicated until it's message received. And one of the most effective ways history has taught us, one of the most effective ways to do that is through the use of story.
Kevin, super. Thanks for that. Just a quick follow-up to that. What if, I'm not particularly eloquent, I'm not a good speech maker. I mean, is that something a leader really needs to learn, or can they sort of get by? Is the strong silent type, the strong non-tweeting silent type of leader, is he or she a dinosaur, or what might you say about that?
Well, I would say that being an effective storyteller has very little to do with being eloquent. Well, that might help. I think that it could also get in the way, because the person who is eloquent or glib or, you know, quick to tell a story doesn't necessarily mean that their story is going to be effective. We're not talking about just telling a story to tell a story. We're talking about using a story strategically to get a message across. And it doesn't, you don't have to be glib or to be have a great turn of a phrase to do that. There's lots of great books by guys like Steve Denning and others that can teach you and give you ideas about how to do that as a leader in the context of leadership. The reality is that it's about having a very clear picture of what you want to communicate and using a story to help you do that. It isn't necessarily about being a great speaker.
Okay.
Those two things do not have to go hand in hand.
Right, so there's hope for the rest of us who maybe
Absolutely.
Don't want to get up on the stage and give the speech and sort of fly without a net. We just have a couple more minutes, Kevin. The show's gone by really quickly, and I wish we had more time, but I'll just throw out maybe one or two more comments from the book that maybe you can comment on. And I'll give you one from the leadership thought section, which is creative ideas are required to craft the future results leaders desire. I'm sorry. Creative ideas are required to craft the future results leaders desire. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about creativity and leadership, because we had Dan Roddy from IBM on the show a couple of months ago, and we talked a little bit about the IBM study, a CEO study, that identified creativity as one of the most important competencies for leaders and C-suite executives in the future. And I thought maybe you could comment a little bit about creativity and leadership.
So here's the thing. Leaders are only necessary if we want the world to be different than it is today. In other words, the status quo requires no leadership. So if the status quo requires no leadership, that means we're trying to go someplace we've never been, which means creativity is necessary for us to get there. Not only to determine where we want to be, that requires creativity, but also how are we going to get there? So to me, to talk about leadership without talking about the ability to be creative and innovative and implement on ideas is almost ridiculous. So it has to be that way, because leadership is about action and moving to a place we've never been. And so it requires that we have the ability to think about doing things in ways we've never done them before.
Great. Kevin, okay, one more and we're done, I promise you. You're working hard for me tonight. But last one, the last tweet of the book, right, the end of the book, leadership is an opportunity and a responsibility. The best leaders accept both realities. I mean, is it hard? Leaders get the most pay. They have the most perks. I mean, are we being like a little too, oh, man, it's hard to be a leader? Is it really hard? Or, am I missing
something? It's an absolutely complex thing to do it, to do it well. I mean, few things in life more complex than that. I've talked with rocket scientists from NASA who say leadership far more complex than being a rocket scientist. It's a whole other story. But let me just say this, that as leaders, we have a responsibility. If you're talking about being an organizational leader, we have more impact on people's lives than almost anyone other than their direct family members. There's a tremendous responsibility. And the opportunity that we have to help an organization move to a direction that makes a difference, to help an organization create new results in the community, to help the individuals that we lead move closer towards their potential, there are fewer things that are a bigger opportunity than that.
Kevin, we are running up against it. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Quick shout out, where can we learn more about you, what you're doing, your organization's doing? Where should we go for more information about Kevin Eikenberry?
Lots of things places you can go. You can certainly go to kevineikenberry.com. If you want to get a copy of the book, you can go to Amazon, but you can also go to remarkablewebstore.com and look for Leadership Tweet there. You buy it there, we'll even find it for you. And just real quick, what I mentioned earlier, our new community for the new book. The new book is called FromBudToBoss.com. Comes out in the middle of February. And our new community is the BudToBossCommunity.com.
All right, that's great. Kevin, thank you so much. I'm sorry for a little bit of feedback in there. So FromBudToBoss.com. Kevin Eikenberry, thank you so much for being on the show. huge thanks to Katie from the Kevin Eikenberry Organization who helped put together this show. And just really thanks for everybody for listening and participating tonight. I'm going to open up all the lines for the after show if anybody wants to hang out and chat just for a few minutes after the show. That's it. Thank you so much from the HR Happy Hour. We really, really appreciate you listening tonight. And good night, everyone.
This episode of HR Happy Hour was brought to you by Acquire. Think about Workforce Solutions as the Facebook of corporate HR, but with org charts instead of walls, succession plans instead of likes, and frankly, a lot less stalking. Visit Acquire.com to learn more, and while you're at it, like us on Facebook.
Thanks, everybody. Great show, Kevin. Super job tonight. I really appreciate it.
Steve, it was my pleasure. I come back on anytime. All you got to do is say the word. We'll be back.
Absolutely, we will. You know, we've been talking about once Bud DeBoss comes out, working out another show perhaps with you. You've got a co-author, I believe, on that work, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
I do, and you could bring us both on, or you could just have Guy on, or whatever. It would be fabulous. I'd love to do it.
We'll work something out. It's fantastic. I loved it. Appreciate it. So we're sort of after show now. We're not streaming live on the Internet right now, but whatever we say in this last few minutes does make the recorded archive and gets ported out to the MP3 and to iTunes. So if anybody who – I've opened up all the lines. There's about 15 people on the line. If anybody wants to say hello, now's your chance.
Hey, Steve, it's Frank.
Hey, Frank, how are you, buddy?
Doing well, and you?
Fantastic.
Hey, Kevin, good show tonight. A lot of good ideas. Hey, I've got a real quick question about age of leaders versus age of leadership. Are you noting that there's a gap in, in real measurement of leadership competencies based on age? Generational age, where typically we think of business leaders like our elected leaders being of an older generation, and now we have some business leaders coming along. You've got Facebooks, you've got other startups and things that are very young leaders. Where do you have any comment on that thought or question?
Well, I think that there's always. Facebook leadership, they're gonna probably win an Oscar, right? So, I mean, that's like a whole other level of sort of visibility. I think that there's always been young leaders that have been successful. There's always been young people that have built organizations, maybe not quite to the degree that's happening now. I think that the big issue or the big observation that I would make here is that in part because of the economy over the last 2 or 3 years, we have a lot of people that are staying in organizations longer than they'd originally planned. So what we're going to have is this big gap. We got a lot of people that are younger that are wanting to take leadership roles. But over the last 20 years, we've flattened organizations. So what's going to happen is when the older generation of leaders finally do leave and they've stayed longer now or are staying longer than they'd originally planned perhaps, there's going to be this big gap and this big jump. And so the need for leadership development in organizations is as big as it's ever been, probably bigger. And I think we're going to see that dynamic play out. Obviously, we have a lot of younger people that are operating as entrepreneurs and doing those sorts of things, and that's an exciting thing. But still, while that's visible, the larger scenario is people in their 20s inside of organizations. Maybe they're moving from organization to organization, but still sort of waiting their turn, or moving from organizations trying to find their turn, if you will. And I think that's the bigger dynamic, although maybe not the one that gets the press, if you will.
A pent-up leadership dynamic. It's interesting.
Yeah, super. Frank, thanks so much, buddy. Kevin, thank you again. I don't want to keep you. We're sort of in the after show. You didn't sign up for this. You're working, like I said during the show, you worked real hard tonight, and I really appreciate it. And I know you've got a full agenda on your plate for tomorrow as well. So I just want to say thank you very much again for participating on the HR Happy Hour tonight.
Well, so, Steve, it was my pleasure. I'll say again, and I'll say, if you think this is working hard, that is nothing. I mean, I grew up on a farm, so
right.
This is hard work is a whole lot different than what this was. This was an absolute ball. I enjoyed it, and like I said, happy to come back anytime.
Super. Kevin, thank you so much. Just a couple quick announcements for anybody who's hanging out and listens back on the archive later on. We've got a couple of really interesting shows coming up. Next week we're a little bit in flux. I'm traveling next week, so we may need to adjust the show a little bit. But we've got a couple of great guests coming up. We've got Bill Taylor from Fast Company is coming on in a couple of weeks to talk about his new book, Practically Radical, which should be fun. And Frank, you'll appreciate this. There's a woman called Sherry Turkle, who's an MIT professor. She just published a book called Alone Together, and it's essentially about, you know, we're all too connected, we're all too dialed in, we're all, you know, we're sort of consuming ourselves with status updates and tweets and emails, and, you know, it's sort of gone too far, if you will. And so Sherry Turkle's coming on the show, and I feel pretty good about that appearance. She was just on the Colbert Report on Monday. So I think that's going to become the new cycle for authors and people looking for publicity. They're going to hit, you know, they're going to hit Stewart, they're going to hit Colbert, and then they're coming on my show after
and
that.
And then
so,
they're coming to Steve Bowes. I like
that's
it.
That's exactly right. So Sherry Turkle's coming on the show on February 17th to talk about her book and her ideas about this whole information age we're in. And then on February 24th, the guys from Ripple, Dan Debo and Dave Premer, are coming on, and we've been and trying to get them to come on for a while, and we're really excited to have the guys from Ripple to come on in a couple weeks. So lots of cool stuff coming up, and we're really we're charging forward in the Intro Happy Hour. Frank, we're on our way to episode number 100 in a few months, and we're looking to figure out what we're going to do to celebrate that milestone in a couple of months. So I just want to say thanks again to Kevin. Thanks to everybody who listened, called in, and participated tonight. And that's it. We're done from the HR Happy Hour. Really appreciate it. And I'm going to find a little song to play us out. And good night, everybody, and we'll see you next time on the HR Happy Hour. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Steve. Great show.